All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Yud Gimel. 13, we have a lot to do today, actually. We are picking up on Yud Beis and Yud Beis, 12b. And we're picking up, actually, at the Gemara. The bottom Gemara there, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom. Oh, you know, I got it. I got a lot of Gemara. All right, so I'll say it's good. So I'll say our share this morning is dedicated by Paul and Kathy Pollack. In commemoration of the Yartzeitz of Paul's parents, Shmuel ben Zachariah, Sarah bas Avram, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah, and the family a Nechamas. So we'll say, let's begin. I'm Rabbi Yosef. My time is Rabbi Eliezer. What is Rabbi Eliezer's logic? We'll remember, I gave it a Machlokis in the Mishnah, which we actually saw referenced on Sunday. And remember again, in this Machlokis in the Mishnah, we spoke about somebody separated out a set. Somebody separated a sheep for Pidyon Peter Chamar. And then what happens? The sheep died. So the shayla is, are you chayiv ultimately to replace the sheep? So remember again, Rabbi Eliezer said, you are chayiv, chayiv achri Yusuf, like the five sloim of Pinyon Aben. And the Chacham said, you are not chayiv in achri Yusuf, you're not chayiv to replace it. And he compared it to the money of Maiser Sheni. Some Rabbi Yosef, my time with Rabbi Eliezer, what's Rabbi Eliezer's logic that he says you're chayiv to replace the money, or excuse me, the seh, if it dies, the chsev, ach pado tifteh. Because the Pasuk says you shall surely redeem it. The Pasuk over here saying, ach pado tifteh, es bechara adnav es bechara behema. The Torah equates redemption of the pinyon pet of the chamar, ultimately, again, with Pinyon Aben, to teach you what? Ma b'char adam chayiv b'achri yuso, af b'char behema chayiv b'achri yuso. The same way, the Rebbe will say, if I'm redeeming my son, and I set aside five sloim to go ahead and give to the Kohen, and something happens to that money, I am obligated to replace those funds. So too, if I separated the sheep to go ahead and be pulled down my Petar Chamor, and it died, I'm obligated to replace it as well. Amar Abayi, Abayi says Rabbi Elazar, but if that's the case, it's Rabbi Yosef. Amar Abayi, Ima b'char adam muter bano, af b'char behema tmeya muter. So if that's the case that you're comparing Pinyon Petar Chamor, ultimately to Pinyon Aben, so in the same way that the b'char, right, the child who's a b'char, is muter bano, right? Parents could tell him to clean his room. I mean, he's a baby, but you know, they could lift him up, they could enjoy him, they could play with him. So ultimately, again, I should say, therefore, Pinyon Peter Chamor should also be, not the pinyon, excuse me, the Bechor Behemot Tmeo, the actual donkey itself should also be Mutar Bano. Maybe you'll say that's the case. About Tanan, we learned, Meis Peter Chamor, that if the Peter Chamor itself died, the donkey died, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yikover. Rabbi Eliezer says it must be buried. They will say, why does it have to be buried? My Yikover, Lab the Aser Bano. If Rabbi Eliezer has to be buried, that must mean what? That it's Aser Bano. So therefore, how can you tell me that you're comparing it to Pinyon Aben? If you're comparing the Peter Chamor to a Bechor Adam, then I should say, just like Bechor Adam is Mutar Bano, so too again, Peter Chamor should also be Mutar Bano. Yet we know Peter Chamor is not Mutar Bano. If it dies, you have to bury it. To which the Gemara says, my love, you covered Aser Bano. Lo, you cover ke Bechor Adam. No, rather what it means is you have to bury it, just like you have to bury Chas Hashem, a firstborn child. So the Gemara says, really? He's trying to tell me that it's only a firstborn child who requires kvura, but everybody else doesn't require kvura. Vod, Tanya, Moda Rabbi Eliezer, Bi Yisrael, Shiishlo, Safek Peter Chamor, B'sov Beis. So furthermore, Rabbi Eliezer agrees in a case of Yisrael as a Safek Peter Chamor. So I have a donkey, and I'm not sure if that donkey is a firstborn or not. And what happens? B'sov Beis. So, Shemarfish Tala Alav, that I separate out a sheep, but Vahu Shalom, but I get to keep the sheep. So this was the Datum over Yom Tif. Ela Amar Rava, rather Rava says, Amar Kra Ach Pado Tifta Lipdia Hikshisiv V'lo L'davar Acha. Rather again, we'll say, the Lashon of Pado Tifta means that I compare Peter Chamor to Bechor Adam for purposes of redemption, but for no other purposes. Which then, according to Rabbi Eliezer, yields the following idea, which is, just like in Bechor Adam, if I set aside five sloim for the redemption of my firstborn child, and what? I lose the money. What's the halacha? I have to separate another five sloim. So too, by pidyon peter chamor, if I separated out the sheep, didn't yet give it to the kohen, and the sheep died, halacha lemaisa, I'm obligated to separate out another sheep. That is the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Of course, as we know, the chachamim disagree. So we'll say the Gemara goes weiter. So Tanan Hasam. We'll say, just, you know, we already spoke about this sugya. We paskin like the chachamim. Right? We paskin that as soon as this is Sunday's daf, that as soon as that sheep is separated, what's the halacha? It becomes the property of who? The property of the kohen. Right? Even though, again, the novelty is, even though it has not yet been given to the kohen, it becomes the property of the kohen right then and there. So therefore, again, if it dies, and unfortunately, it's the kohen's problem, no longer my Yisrael problem. So the one goes like, Tan Hasam. Ha'erchen b'shaitam. So what's this actually interesting case? Erchen. Erchen means I make an erech vow. I make an erech vow. So that could either be, I say, erki alai, I pledge to give my value to the Beis HaMikdash, or I could pledge someone else's erech to the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, so that's very interesting. Erech vows are assessed at the time that they are made. What does that mean? Let's say someone goes there and says, erki alai, right? I make that neder when I'm 13, but I don't end up paying it until I'm 50. So we'll say, so remember, there's two different erech vows, when you're 13 and when you're 50. So when do you assess the value of the vow? At the time that it was made, and not at the time that it is paid. So therefore the Gemara says, U'pidyon ha-ben, achar shloshim yom. And we'll say, pidyon ha-ben, that what this sounds like is saying is, pidyon ha-ben is done after 30 days. Pidyon peter chamar la'altar, you should redeem your donkey, firstborn donkey, immediately. Immediately. So the Gemara says, is that true? Pidyon peter chamor la'altar? Is that true? Pidyon peter chamor is done immediately? Or minhi al reizek hasha, ein be'erchin upidyon aben, upinazirus, upeter chamor, pachos, mishloshim, umosifin ad olam. Yet there also have another braisa. The braisa says that by erchin, pidyon aben, nezirus, and peter chamor, nothing happens less than 30 days. And they continue forever. So we'll say that continue forever has different applications for each of these. We're focusing on over here, pidyon peter chamor. So you just told me before that peter chamor is supposed to be done after 30 days. Right? This price now tells me that what? Peter chamor is supposed to be done when? Pachos mishloshim, less than 30 days. So which one is it? So the Gemara says, so first Braisa says that Pidyon Peter Chamor is immediately. Second Braisa says it is from 30 days and on. So which one is it? So Amar Nachman, so the Gemara says, Lomar, Shempado Padui. So ultimately, again, what that tells me is that if even though ideally I should do it from 30 days and on, if halacha lemaisa I did it within 30 days, ultimately, again, it will still work. So the Gemara says, Michlal, Dibino in Padoy and Eno Padoy. Is they telling me that if somebody redeemed their son within 30 days, it doesn't work? In other words, I will say, from the fact that it says ultimately, again, for Pidyon Peter Chamor, that although ideally you should do it after 30 days, if you did it within 30 days, it still works. So that sounds like that's unique by Pidyon Peter Chamor. You tell me that doesn't work by Pidyon Aben, that although Pidyon Aben should ultimately be done after 30 days, if you did it within 30 days, it sounds like now the Gemara is saying that doesn't work. Is that true? But Itmar, we learned, Hapo Despino B'soch Lamed Yom, if someone redeems their child, their son, within 30 days, what's the halacha? Rav Amar B'no Padoi. Rav says it works. We'll say, fascinating halacha. Right? If I go ahead and I literally go ahead and I redeem my son within 30 days, it works. So Gemara says, Lav Itmar Lan, the Gemara says, we have to qualify that. Amar Rava, D'chuli amami achshav ein b'no padui. No. We'll say, what does that mean? That if I redeem my kid within 30 days, it works. We'll say what that means is like this. Look at Rashi. D'chuli amami achshav heicha d'amr, last Rashi in the daf. Heicha d'amr me achshav yachol pidyon ze ein apadui. Keep ligi heicha d'amr me achshav ani no se mos va pidyon lo yachol adachar shoshu. We'll say, watch this. If I go ahead and I go over to a coin, my child is a week old, and I say, here, I want to redeem my kid. Everyone agrees that what? That does not work. You cannot redeem a child that is less than 30 days old. Where does the issue or the intriguing piece come up? Let's say I give the money to the kohen while my child is less than 30 days, but I explicitly stipulate that halacha lemaisa, the pidyon should not occur until after 30 days. So we'll say, by the way, you can see a case like this happening very easily. How does this happen? How does this happen? I don't have access to a kohen all the time, right? I run into a kohen. So I say, you know what, this is great. Let me give you the money now. But the pidyon ultimately, again, should not be chal until after 30 days. So that's what we'll say. In that case, Rav says such a pidyon will work. Top of Yud Gimel. Rav Sheshe Samar, Lomar She'ino over Alav. Rav Sheshe says like this. In reality, the mitzvos pidyon peter chamar really should be done immediately. It really should be done immediately. And when the Braisa said that ultimately, again, you shouldn't do it less than 30 days, that ultimately means that as long as you do it within 30 days, then halacha lemaisa what? Halacha lemaisa, you're not in violation of anything. So the Gemara says, Masiv Rai Bar Chama, mitzvasa kol shloshim yom. The mitzvah of pidyon peteh chamar is all 30 days. Mikan va'ilech, after 30 days, either redeem it, or you break its neck. My lav mitzvah l'shosa kol shloshim yom. Does that not mean you should wait 30 days before performing the mitzvah? Lo mitzvah l'ftosa kol shloshim yom. No, rather what it means is the mitzvah already applies the first 30 days of its life. If that's the case, then it should have said, from this point on, you could still redeem it, or you are in violation. Ela amarava lo kasha, HaRabbi Eliezer de Makshi, HaRabbanan de lo Makshi. So we'll say, it could very well be that just the two versions are reflective of the Machlokis, Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Eliezer ultimately who compares Pinyon Petech Amar ultimately to what? To Pinyon Aben, will say that Halacha Lamaisa, there's no mitzvah Pinyon until after 30 days, versus the Rabbanan who do not make a Hekish ultimately between Pinyon Aben and Petech Amar. We'll say that the mitzvah is la'alter, is immediately. We'll say, how do we paskin halacha l'maisa? So practically speaking, again, how do we paskin, when does pidyon petach hamor actually occur? So we'll say, so listen to this. The Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. This is in Simen Shin Chaf Aleph Sif Aleph. Ume'im asai chayiv liftoso. When does the mitzvah of pidyon set in? So misheyulad ad sheyamos. So we'll say, so the halacha is, it begins when the animal is born, and it ends when the animal dies. So it says, so halacha l'maisa is actually, and by the way, very similar to which mitzvah? Which mitzvah? Pidyon aben. Now pidyon aben, of course, is different. It doesn't start when the child is born, but it only starts after 30 days, but it extends. We'll say, by the way, this comes up all of the time. People for a variety of different circumstances, either because maybe parents didn't know, never had a pidyon aben. Never had a pidyon aben. And then again, children go ahead, Baruch Hashem, and learn the halachas. And again, it's happened more than once, right? I've had the great schools to participate in a pidyon aben for adult b'chorim, right? Because at the end of the day, they never realize, no one ever realized. Pidyon aben is one of those halachas. Most of us could probably count on certainly one hand, certainly less than two hands, unless you're calling the number of pidyon aben, right? But again, halacha l'maisa, if you'd never had it when you were 30 days old, halacha l'maisa, you have to have a pidyon. So we'll say, so again, back to this. So therefore, again, the mitzvah of pidyon peter chamar begins as soon as you are born, as soon as the donkey is born. Elish the mitzvah l'fdoso miyad. But l'chatchila, pidyon should be done as quickly as possible. Shelo l'hashos ha-mitzvah, in order not to delay the mitzvah. Right, ula achash shabos. So again, so this is exceptionally important. So again, the Shulchan Aruch goes on to other details. So halacha l'maisa, we paskin the mitzvah pidyon begins at the moment of birth of the donkey and extends throughout the donkey's entire life. But clearly, Shulchan Aruch echoing or exclaiming that halacha l'maisa should be done as quickly as possible. Beautiful Mishnah. We'll say, actually, this is interesting. There's no Gemara on this Mishnah. This is the last Mishnah of the Perek. Lo ratza liftoso, if you don't want to redeem your donkey, arfo me'achorav, you decapitate it. Right? You decapitate it. V'kovro, and you have to bury it. Right? Because it will say, v'pashtos, again, if you're going to go ahead and break its neck and kill it, so ultimately it is aser ba'ano, and therefore you're going to go ahead and bury it. Mitzvah ha'pdiya kodemes le'mitzah sarifa. The Mishnah says that it is preferable to go ahead and redeem it rather than decapitate it. Shene emar im lo tifte v'arafto. Because it will say, interesting, where does the Gemara learn out this precedence from? From the Pasuk. The Pasuk speaks about redeeming the donkey before it speaks about breaking its neck. So from here you see that it is preferable to go ahead and redeem it, then break its neck. So we'll say, once the Mishnah now said that, the Mishnah is going to bring up a couple of other cases where you have different options available to you, and the precedents for those options. For example, mitzvah si'ida kodemus l'mitzvah hapadiyah. We'll say the halacha is, a person can purchase an ama ivriya. A father has the ability to sell his daughter, right, his minor daughter, as an ama. Right, the adon who purchases that ama, there are two possibilities. Either ultimately, again, the adon can marry the girl, he can marry her off to his son, or ultimately, again, he can help her buy her way into freedom. So the Mishnah says, interestingly enough, it is preferable to marry her off to his son than it is for her, ultimately, again, to purchase her freedom. But said, the idea behind that is hopefully the marriage to the Adon's son will go ahead and provide her with some level of stability and security going forward. Obviously, if the father's selling her up as an ama, something's going on over here. So the ability for her to marry or to be married to the Adon, to the son of the Adon, provides her with stability. Therefore, yield comes before pidyon. Shne'emar, yasher lo ya'ada ve'hafda. We'll say same idea in the pasuk. If he did not do yield, then she has to be redeemed. Mitzvah sayibum kodemus l'mitzvah chalitza. Those are very interesting. Yibum is preferable over chalitza. It's preferable over chalitza. But remember, again, man dies without children, so his surviving brother has an obligation to marry the widow. There are two options at disposal over here. Either yibum, marrying the deceased brother's wife, or chalitza, quasi-divorce. So the Mishnah says over here, yibum is preferable to chalitza. So the Gemara says, it's actually very interesting. So, lemitzas chalitza, berishona shayu miskadim l'shem mitzvah. But this is only in earlier times, when people had kavana for the mitzvah. However, achshav shein miskaven l'shem mitzvah. But now, unfortunately, what happens is when people don't necessarily have kavana for the mitzvah, we'll say, what does this mean? This means that his kavana is ultimately, again, to be able to have relations with his brother's wife. Right? In other words, the kavana is not for the mitzvah, but rather, again, the kavana ultimately is for the biyah. So, amru mitzvah chalitza kodemus l'mitzvah sibum. So, we'll say, this is actually a very interesting statement. Meaning, what the Gemara is saying over here is that Me'ikra Din, his kavana doesn't really play that much of a role. Meaning, at the end of the day, the mitzvah of Yibam is for him to marry his deceased brother's wife. Whether his kavana is in order to go ahead and establish a family for his deceased brother, or because he finds his sister-in-law attractive, it doesn't. On a halachic level, on a technical level, it doesn't make that much of a difference. Chazal seem to have been more concerned over here for the impact on greater society. So in earlier times, when intentions were purer, so they pushed Yibum over Chalitza. In later times, when intentions were a bit more compromised, they pushed Chalitza over Yibum. It's actually very interesting. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Achshav mitzvah chalitza kodemes, shamiyavim es yivim to shlov shem mitzvah, pogea be'isr eishes ach. Both is very interesting. So this quote, Gemara is quoting over here an opinion from Yosechus Yivamis, that if a man doesn't have the purest of intentions when doing yibum, pogea be'isr eishes ach, which means he almost like, he walks the line on one of the arayas. So because he walks the line on one of the arayas, Chazal said, you know what? Just better to go ahead and do chalitza than to do yibam. Hagula ba'adonu kodem l'chol adam. Hagula ba'adonu kodem l'chol adam. We'll say, what's this next case? If you look at Rashi, ba'adon, b'matfis behima t'meya lebedek habayis, mitzvahs p'diyasa ba'adon kodem l'chol adam. So we'll say, this is if I go ahead and dedicate a non-kosher animal to the Beis HaMikdash. So the idea is, the goal over here is to redeem it, right? To redeem it so that the Beis HaMikdash gets the money and I go ahead and use the non-kosher animal for something else. The mitzvah of pidyon in that case devolves upon the owner of the animal sooner than it devolves upon anyone else. Good Shana Emar, Vim lo yigavin in karba erkecha. If I will say, Hadron Aloch, Halokeach Uber Chamoro. Mazel Tov. So we'll say, let's go back there. Halokeach uber paraso sha'ovit kochavim. We'll say, listen to this next case. If I go ahead and I purchase the uber of a paraso. Suppose, remember again, in the first chapter, we were dealing with pidyon peter chamar, right? Bechor, what we call bechor behema t'meya. Firstborn of a non-kosher animal. Not sure, there's only non-kosher animal that the halachos of Bechor apply to is a donkey, is a chamar. Now we're transitioning to the halachos of Bechor, Behema, Tahora. Firstborn animals. Remember again, what's the status of firstborn animals? They are given ultimately again to the Kohen. So the Gemara says, Halokeach uber parasa shal. Well, actually, let's see. We're going to see what we do with everything. Halokeach uber parasa shal bikram. So we'll say in this case over here, I'm purchasing the uber, I'm purchasing the fetus of the par of an Obed Kochavim. So we'll say, you're going to see, by the way, this Mishnah is exactly symmetrical to the first Mishnah of the first Perek. So we'll say in this case over here, so the Nachri, the Gentile, owns the par, he owns the cow, I am purchasing the rights to the fetus, so that when the calf is born, ultimately it will be mine. V'amochelo. Similarly again, if I own the cow, and I'm selling the fetus to the Nachri, afapi she'eno rashai, even though again I'm not really allowed to do that, I will say, remember again, this goes back to the first Mishnah in the Masechta, which is what? You're not supposed to sell a behema gasa to a Nachri, as we discussed. You're not supposed to sell large livestock to an Akum, as we discussed in the opening Mishnah of Masechta. It's even though I'm not supposed to do this, if I did it, it works. Right? Or I buy an animal in partnership with an Akum. Right? We pool our money together, we buy an animal together. Or we'll say, the Akum gives me his cow to watch and take care of. And the agreement is, I'll take care of the animal, and we'll split the proceeds from the offspring of the animal. Or I take my cow, give it to the Akum, same arrangement. He'll take care of the animal, we'll split the proceeds in the offspring. But in all of these cases, what's the halacha? Pater min abechora. But in all of these cases, the animal is pater from firstborn status. In other words, when it has a calf, and that calf is a firstborn, it does not have kiddushas bechor. Why not? Shene emar. Be Yisrael. Because also when the Pasuk talks about Bechor Behema, it uses the Lashon ultimately again of Yisrael, Kili Kol Bechor Be Yisrael, Me Adam Va'ad Behema. Which also teaches me what? Avalo Ba'achirim. There is only Kiddushas Bechor in an animal when that animal is fully and solely owned by a Jew. But if there is any Gentile ownership interest, then halacha lemaisa, again, it is no longer subject to the halachos of Bechor. Hakohanim v'halevim chayavim. Interestingly enough, Kohanim and Levim are chayiv, ultimately in Bechor Behema. Shelo niftiru mi Bechor Behema Torah ela mi piyon ha-ben mi petach hamar. Because those Kohanim and Levim are obligated in Bechor Behema Torah. We'll discuss how that works. Because Kohanim and Levim are only pater from what? Piyon ha-ben and petach hamar and firstborn donkeys. But otherwise, Bechor Behema Torah, even Kohanim and Levim are chayiv. Good, says the Gemara. My yirya detani uber chamora bereisha vadotani uber paraso. Listening bereisha uber paraso the kedushas agofi v'hadu listening uber chamora the kedushas davinhi. So we'll say why. Gemara asks a more global question. Why did the Masechta begin with discussing the halachos of a firstborn donkey when it should have started speaking about the halachos of a firstborn kosher animal? Why? Because a firstborn donkey only has financial sanctity, versus a firstborn kosher animal has kedusha sagof, has physical sanctity. Physical sanctity is a higher level than monetary sanctity. So why not begin with the discussion over here about halokeach uber paro? So this should come first. So in Ma'arav and Eretz Yisrael, they said as followed: Ibai sema, I did the chaviv leikid Rabbi Chanina. So this is actually quite beautiful. So one opinion is, as we said before, that since donkeys are near and dear to us. Why are donkeys near and dear to us? Because we'll say the donkeys aided us when we left Mitzrayim. That when we left Mitzrayim, the donkeys helped us carry out the spoils and riches of Egypt. So because of that, again, we start as a sign of almost like Hakaras Hatov. We begin ultimately by discussing the donkeys. Another possibility is, Aidi de Zutra Mile, de Behema Tmeya Pasek Vishadileir. But the second possibility is, since the halakos of Peter Chamor are relatively few and straightforward, we begin with that. Kind of, I don't want to say the word, let's get it out of the way, but a little bit like, let's deal with the easier part first, and then we'll go on to the more complicated halachas. Good. We'll say this is a very interesting case. So listen to this very carefully. A Yisrael gives money. I'm purchasing an animal from an Akum. Okay? Now what do I do? I pay him. I give him $100, right? Here's $100. Bidinayam. And we agree that this transaction should be governed by their laws. We're going to define them in just a moment. Afa pishla mashach kana. Even though I did not yet go ahead and do mashicha, nevertheless, I have acquired the animal. V'chayeves bebechora. And therefore, the animal is subject to the halachas of the Torah. I will say, what does it mean the animal is subject? That means when that animal now gives birth, ultimately what? The offspring is subject to bechor. So let's remember, understand the novelty, what's occurring over here. Under normal circumstances, if you want to acquire livestock, how do you acquire livestock? Mashicha. Over here, what we're saying over here is, I'm paying the money to the akum, and as soon as I pay the money, I'm acquiring it with kesef. Right? Literally, it's mine, to the point that right after I gave that money, the animal gives birth. That the newborn animal, assuming it's the firstborn, has kedushas bechor. Similarly, Ovid Kocham, we'll say first wide line, Yibun Lodalef. Ovid Kocham, Shenasan Mosli, Sobabahem, Dobidineim. If an akum gives money to a Jew to purchase the animal, the akum gives me money to purchase my animal, bidineim, in accordance with their laws, afapi shalom mashach, even though I didn't do mashicha, kana, upata min abachora, he has acquired the animal, and therefore again, if the animal were to give birth after the transfer of the funds, the animal will be pata from the bechora. Okay, so let's analyze this. Amr Mar, if I gave money to the akum to purchase the animal, and we agreed to transact this transaction in accordance with their laws, so what do we say? Even though, again, I didn't do mashicha, the animal is mine, and therefore chayvim b'char. What does it mean that we're transacting this transaction in accordance with their laws? So the Gemara says, if you want to say that we're transacting this transaction in accordance with their laws, as if I were to acquire the akum himself, that this transaction should be modeled as if I was buying the akum as an eved, the asi b'kavachomer, because it can make the following kavachomer, im gufei kanei v'yisrael b'kesef, if I could acquire a Gentile slave with money, dichsev la reshes achuza, so hekishu akasov la achuza, the Torah equates an eved kanani with land. Just like a piece of land can be acquired with kesef, shtar, and chazaka, av eved kenani nikna bekesef mamono. Oh, I'm sorry, bekesef. So too an eved kenani can be acquired with kesef. So also, maybe the name means like this. When I'm doing business with the akum, the same way that I could acquire the akum with kesef, mamono lo kol shekein. If I could acquire the akum with kesef, then what? I could certainly acquire his sheep with kesef as well. So the Gemara says, Imkein, afilu b'shtar v'chazakar nami. Well, if that's the case, I should be able to acquire his sheep, not just with money, but what? With shtar and chazaka as well. After all, again, if you're telling me b'dineya means that the same way I could purchase the akum himself, I could purchase his animal, I could purchase the animal with kesef, shtar, and chazaka. So too, again, I should be able to purchase the animal with kesef, shtar, and chazaka. To which the Gemara says, no. V'od yisrami yisrael yochiach. Truth is, I could prove this ultimately again from purchasing, or also remember again, I could also purchase an Eved Ivri. How do I purchase an Eved Ivri? Digufei, karilei bekesef, mamono b'meshicha. So also yet, if I acquire a Jewish servant, what's the halacha? So I could acquire the servant with money, but yet, interestingly enough, everyone agrees, I can only acquire movable property from another Yisrael with meshicha. So I'll say, so what does dineihem mean? Ela amar Abaye b'dineihem shepaska lahem Torah. We'll say rather what it means is with the laws that the Torah has outlined. We'll say, what does that mean? Here we go. O kano miyad amitecha. Right? The pasuk says, you shall acquire it from the hand of your fellow. Miyad amisecha hu dibim shicha. So we'll say, when the Torah tells me about Kinyarim, Torah tells me, O kano miyad amisecha, which teaches me that what? When acquiring movable property from amisecha, I have to use mashicha. We'll say, who's amisecha? It's my fellow Jew. Only when acquiring from a fellow Jew do you need mashicha. But halacha l'maisa, when what? When acquiring from an Ovid kochavim, we'll say, what's the halacha? I don't need mashicha. Even a Kinyan kesef will work just fine. Ve'ema, miat ovid kochavim klal. Klal klalo. Maybe he's coming to teach you that I can't acquire anything from an akum. Right? Don't say, maybe okana miat amisecha teaches me that you're right. Mashicha doesn't work by an akum. Nothing works by an akum. See, where it does make sense.
Amritz Gemara says,
But say,
if I could acquire the goof of an akum, I could acquire him as an eved, so then I could acquire his money. So say, maybe you'll say that by an ovid kochavim, to acquire something, you need two things, meshicha and kasef. Amri v'lav kavachomer, doesn't make sense. Ha'gufa ba'achas mamono b'shtayim, if I could acquire his body, right, with one kinyan, i.e. kesef, you're going to tell me he takes two kinyanim to acquire his property. Ve'ema obaha obaha. Maybe it should be either one. Maybe she's able to buy an akum to be able to use kesef or meshicha. So the Gemara says, dumi adami secha. There he will say, the way I acquire from an akum has to resemble the way I acquire from my fellow Jew. Ma'ami secha b'chada. Just like by a Jew, Rabbi will say, there is one form of kinyan. What's the form of kinyan? By a Jew, it's going to be what? Meshicha. Af ovid kochavim nami b'chada. So to by Ovid Kham, it'll also be one form of kinyan. But what form of kinyan works by an akum? Kesef. Amar Mar. So we'll say, so again, so therefore we've just defined the first case. The first case over here is that we're going ahead and a Jew is acquiring an animal from an akum bidinehem. Bidinehem, we're now assuming, means what? In accordance with biblical law. What does biblical law teach me? That Mashiach is a din in acquiring movable property from Yisrael. But there is no din Mashiach ultimately in acquiring movable property from an Akum. How do I acquire movable property from an Akum? Kesef. And while it's not just movable property, any property from an Akum, it's going to be Kesef. Good. That was the first case. What about the second case? Omar, V'ovei kocham shenasam maos liYisrael. We'll say this is the reverse case. The Akum is buying my animal, and he gives me money, so bidinehen, in accordance, and we're transacting this transaction in accordance with their laws. Bidinehen. Even though the Akum didn't do Mashiach kana, so he acquires the animal with his kasef, upater mina bechora, and ultimately, again, the animal is pater from bechor. My bidinehen, so we'll say, let's, again, what does it mean that we're transacting this bidinehen? Ilema bidinehen digufei. If you want to say, and it's in accordance with the halachos, the way he would acquire my guf, mushum da'asiv kavachomer, im gufo yisrael kanile bekesef. If the akum was purchasing me as a servant, he would acquire me with money. Dichsiv mikesef miknaso mamon lakol shekain. But see, if he acquires my body with money, so then he certainly could acquire my property with money. So the Gemara says, but here's the problem with that. Yisrael yochiach. I could disprove that from a case of one Yisrael who purchases another Yisrael as a servant. The gufo kana b'kesef, where the acquisition of the physicality of the eved is done with kesef, but mamono b'mashicha. Yet one Jew can only acquire movable property from the Jew with mashicha. Amra baye b'dineim shepaska lahem Torah. Therefore, we'll say they're structuring their transaction based on biblical law. V'chi simkeru mimkar la misecha b'mashicha. Hala ovid kochavim bekesef. So we'll say same idea as the previous case. It's working over here. Why? Because apparently what the Gemara is teaching me is that in Jew Gentile business transactions, Mashiach does not work. Kesef does. How do we know that? Because in the Torah speaks about Mashiach, it says okano miyad amisecha. Only amisecha, only your fellow, which is defined as a fellow Jew, needs Mashiach. With a transaction with an akum, kesef affects the transaction. Ve'emu lo ovikom klal klalo. Why don't you maybe for an ovikom you can't structure any kind of transaction? So amri lav kavachomeru im gufo kano mamono lo kol shekein. If he could acquire my body, certainly could acquire my mamon. To which the Gemara says, emu lo ovikom adi katarti. Maybe an ovikom needs two kiyam. Both is the same conversation as before. He needs kesef and mashicha. Lav kavachomer. If he could acquire my body with one, he requires two kiyam to acquire my money. Ve'ema obaha obaha. Maybe it should be with either one, either kesef or mashicha. Dumya da amisecha amud beis. The transaction with an akum resembles a transaction with a Jew. Ma amisecha ba'achos af obed kucham nami ba'achos. Good. So bottom line, halacha lemaisa. What the Gemara is teaching me is in this Jew Gentile transaction, what affects the transaction? Kesef. Kesef, as soon as you pay the money, even though there was no Mashiach, the Jew acquires the animal from the Akum acquires the animal for the Jew, and the transaction is done. I am the new owner of the animal. If I'm buying it, the Akum's the new owner of the animal. Even though what? There was no transfer of Rishus. Mashiach is only a transactional obligation in business transactions between Jews. Good. So the Gemara goes right there. Amri. Now watch this. Here's the wrinkle in this. What about a Meimar? Right? A Meimar says that Halacha L'Maisa, Meshicha does work by Nakum. Right? What does he do with all of this? Meshicha does work by Nakum. So here we go. Isa V'lak Rabbi Yochanan D'Amar Dvar Torah Ma'os Konos. So I say, if he holds like Rabbi Yochanan holds, that Mid'Araisa Ma'os Konos, right? Money affects the transaction. If that's the case, look to Dvar Torah Ma'os Konos, Meshicha Lo Ahani La Amisecha. Then ultimately, again, the change over there is Meshicha Lo Kanya La Amisecha. So we'll say ultimately, again, if he holds that, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Dvar Torah Ma'os Konos, Tchsiv Nasan Akesef Ekam Lo, the Gemara Hedyot Me'akdish, Meshicha Lo Kanya, Ikalimar Damisecha, Asilimimar Miyat Damisecha Bekesef, Umiyat Ovid Kachavim Be'Meshicha. So we'll say, interestingly enough, according to Amimar, Sif Yolzak Rabbi Yochanan, who says Dvar Torah Ma'os Konos, so ultimately what that means is what? That Halacha L'Maisa tells me that for a Jew, I need a king in Kesef, but in fact for an Akum, even Meshicha works. But if he holds, right, if a Meimar who holds Meshicha works by an Akum, holds like Reish Lakish, who holds that Meshicha is explicit in the Torah, La Amisecha b'Meshicha, Ula Obed Kochavim b'Meshicha. If that's the case, I will say, then what? Then Amisecha teaches me that what? That Meshicha works by a Jew. And yet we're also learning that Meshicha works by an Akum. If that's the case, La'amisecha lamali. So we'll say, then La'amisecha is not teaching me anything unique. Because according to this approach, Meshicha works both by Jew and Gentile. To which the Gemara says, Amri, La'amisecha ata machzir ona'a, v'ata machzir ona'a l'kinani. We'll say, interestingly enough, Ravi, if you, a Meimar, according to Reish Lakish, would have to say what? That Amisecha teaches me that to my fellow Jew, I return Ona'a, but I don't have to return Ona'a, ultimately, again, to a Kenani, to a John Jew. I'll say, what does this mean? So Ona'a means overcharging. So remember, again, without getting into all the technicalities over here, if you overcharge a Jew on a transaction, you have to go, or for that matter, by the way, Ona'a works both ways. It's not just overcharging. It's also undercharging. If there's a certain amount of overcharging or undercharging, Halacha L'Maaseh again, it must be returned ultimately again to the purchaser / seller, right? Depending on overcharge or undercharge. That halacha only applies between Jews. According to Amimar, that does not apply to a non-Jew. Kono miyad amitecha, amisecha teaches me that what? That Halacha L'Maaseh, the obligation to return overcharging or undercharging, to that matter, only applies between Jews. Doesn't apply between Jews and non-Jews. To which the Gemara says, "L'kinani, I already know that halacha. Me'al tonu al sonu ishes achiv." Well, so I already know that from the pasuk that says what? Al sonu ishes achiv, which means that what? One person should not. Oh, this is onah. So a person should not be ma'ar lo sonu ishes achiv. The halachos of onah only apply between what? Between brothers, between Jews. Don't apply to Jew and non-Jew. To which the Gemara says, no. Chad b'knani v'chad b'hegdish. One pasuk teaches me that the laws of Ona'a do not apply to a Gentile. And the other halachos teaches me that the laws of Ona'a do not apply to Hegdish. This is actually very interesting. So the Gemara says, Utrichi, I need both. I'll tell you why. The Gemara says, Di kasev rachmana chad hava mina l'knani hu de'en la'ona'a ava hegdish yesh la'ona'a. Because had there just been one pasuk, I would have said, so the halachos of Ona'a do not apply to a Gentile. But they certainly apply to the Beis HaMikdash. What's that? If I end up overcharging the Beis HaMikdash for something, shouldn't I have to go ahead and give back the overcharge to the Beis HaMikdash? Kamash Malon. Kamash Malon will say that is not the case. That halacha l'maisa, the laws of Ona do not apply to the Beis HaMikdash. We'll say, I don't know if the laws of Ona don't apply to the Beis HaMikdash, because the Lashon is either Amisecha or Achiv. Only when transacting with another individual Jew do the laws of Ona apply. When interacting or when conducting business with an entity, for example, like the Beis HaMikdash, the laws of Ona'a do not apply. To which the Gemara says, Hani chalaman damar gezelo aser. So we'll say, this whole drasha, that the laws of Ona'a do not apply to an akum, makes sense if you hold in general, gezel nachri is aser. Right? If you hold ultimately again, that there is an Isser to steal from an Akum, that the Isser of Lo Sigzal, of not stealing applies to an akum as well, then haynu ditzrich kra lemishrei ona. Then ultimately, again, now I need a pasuk ultimately to teach me what? That ona is going to be permitted. Because again, ona really falls under the umbrella of gezel, of theft. See, if you tell me that stealing from an akum is going to be aser, then ultimately I understand why I need a pasuk teaching that the laws of ona do not apply. Ela yisavar lo kiman d'amar gezelo shel kenani mut. But if halacha lemaisa, you hold that the gezel of a kenani is mutter. We'll say, now let's analyze this. What does this mean? That stealing from an akum is mutter. We'll say what this means ultimately is that halacha lemaisa, it might not fall under the technical biblical prohibition of lo sigzel. It does not mean by any stretch of the imagination that what? Right? Mutter here does not mean encouraged or condoned. Because clearly, again, even if it doesn't fall under the biblical prohibition of lo sigzol, halacha lemaisa certainly falls under the general obligation of dak yishalom. You can't steal from anyone in greater society, ultimately, again, because you cause problems. But again, I will say on a technical level, if there is no biblical prohibition of gezelos akum, then why would there be a problem of ona? I will say, if gezel is permitted by nochri, so certainly ona is not going to be a problem. To which the Gemara says, Amri, isar v'lakimam d'amar gezelah mutar. See, if he holds, like the opinion who holds, that gezel nochri is mutar, al karachech d'Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan sphere alay. Then ultimately, again, he would have to hold like Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that halacha l'maisa mid'araisa ma'os konos, even in transactions between Jews. Good. So we'll say, the takeaway from here so far is something very interesting, which is, we have a fundamental machlokes in the world of kinyanim. So according to the first approach, the halachos of Mashiach only apply between Jews. Right? And when it comes to Jew-Gentile transactions, ultimately what? Everything is decided by kasef, by money. In Amimar's view, Mashiach ultimately works even between a Jew and a non-Jew. The challenging part with that, Rabbi Yosef, not the challenging, but the interesting part with that, Rabbi Yosef, is that halacha l'maisa, how to interpret that, when that applies, how that applies, then ultimately machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish all comes into that as well. We then get into a side subject of whether or not the laws of Ona apply to an Akri, which bepashtas, again, they do not. The halacha is the laws of Ona do not apply to an Akri, and the fundamental machlokes is about whether or not there's a concept of Gezel Hager. Gezel Akum, right? Gezel Akum, the laws of theft by a non-Jew. Nisei, laws in the Gemara is the Kasha. Halkeach Gerutaos min Avkamos. This is fascinating. I buy scrap metal, right? Or in this case, a piece, not scrap metal, but really silver, scrap silver, right? I buy pieces of silver, not refined pieces of silver, like chunks of silver, right? From an Akum. Watch this. Umatza ben Obadas Kochavim. And in the pile that I purchased, I find an idol. I find an idol. So I say, so what's that locha? Im achlo nasan ma'os machzi mash. Sorry. Imo achlo nasan ma'os mashach. So I say, if I did not yet pay the money, but I did mashicha, yachzir. I give back, I can give back the idol. V'im yishen nasan ma'os mashach. Rabbi will say, after I gave the money, I did mashicha, then yolech hanal yanach. So I say, very important underlying halacha over here, which is as follows. Once an idol is owned by a Jew, it has no bittul, right? Once it's owned by a Jew, you can't negate its idolatrous status. The only thing you can do is, well, we had this in Avodah Zarah. You destroy it. If ultimately, again, it's not owned by a Jew, a Nachri, an Akum, could be mevatel his Avodah Zarah. So if you have, let's say, a silver idol, and the Nachri says, I hereby deconsecrate you. You're no longer an idol. You're nothing. Technically, it becomes deconsecrated and becomes mutter b'ana by a Jew. Once a Jew owns Avodah Zarah, it doesn't have bittul forever. So watch this. In this case, really, the Gemara thing is like this. If I gave the money and did Mashicha, essentially, I own it already. Once I own it, the only recourse is what? Throw it into the Amamelach. Destroy it. If, however, I did not yet give the money, even though what? I did Mashicha already. What's Talacha? I can give it back to the Akum. He could be either one of two things. Either he'll refund my money, or he'll be mevatel it and then give it back to me. Now watch this. V'amrit mos konos mashiach lamali. So I'll say, so first of all, we just got finished saying without that what? When it comes ultimately to the transactions between Jew and non-Jew, it's all about the money. Right? It's all about the money. It's all about mos konos. Why do you throw in mashiach over here? Right? What does mashiach have to do with this? Sachamaskinon, they will say, what's the halacha? What's going on over here? Shekibal alav ladun b'dini Yisrael. Where ultimately, again, it was actually very interesting, the Jew and the non-Jew agreed to conduct their transaction as if they were transacting between Jews. So let's say, remember again, when you go ahead and you enter into a business deal with someone, you can make whatever parameters of that deal that you want. So the interesting part over here in this case is that Allah Khalamaisa, I'm conducting business with the Akum, and what do we say? You know what? Let's conduct this as if we are both Yidden. Right? And therefore what? Mishicha will be Kona. Mishicha will be Kona. Okay. I mean, you can do that, that's fine. But Yachi Ma'os Lamali. But if that's the case, then why do you need the money? I was about to say, the Braisa was stated in a strange way, where what happens, if I gave him the money but didn't get the do Mashiach, I can give him back the idol. If I gave him the money and did Mashiach, then the idol's mine, too late. So I don't understand. If we're saying it, let's just structure it like business, like a transaction between two Jews, all I need is Mashiach. Why do I need the money? To which the Gemara says, Hachi Gamar, this is what he means to say. Afapi Shenasan Mos, even though I gave the Akum the money already, imashich in ilo lo. If I did Mashicha, it works. Meaning, if I did Mashicha, it's mine. If I didn't yet do Mashicha, then ultimately it's not mine. Iachi kasher isha. If that's the case, ultimately again, the Reish is problematic. As well as in the Reish's case, what happened? I did Mashicha, right? I did Mashicha, right? So what's the Gemara says? I'm Rabbi Reisha mishum diika mekachtos. Abai says, here's the difference. In the Reisha, even though I did Mashicha, I could ultimately go ahead and return the idol to the Akum. Why? Because it was a Mekachtos. We'll say, why was it a Mekachtos? Because ultimately, again, I never had in mind to what? To purchase an idol. So Amrali Rava, Reisha Mishum Mekachtos, Seifa Lekka Mekachtos. So to which Rava says, I don't understand, you're right, I understand the Mekachtos. But both cases are a case of Mekachtos. So we'll say, remember again, Mekachtos means any time you go ahead and you purchase something, and there were circumstances in the sale that you did not know about at the time of the sale. And had you known then what you know now, you would not have entered into the transactions. That is grounds to void the sale. It's true, this is a Mekachtos. I never wanted to buy idols. But the Mekachtos, Vara Paz, about the ratio of the sale. So we're going to stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with the resolution of this Raisa, Emirat Hashem tomorrow. We'll say Mazel Tov to Reb Shmuel Karapkin on the marriage of his daughter this evening, B'Sha'a Tova U'Mitzlachas. Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. Much nachas on the chasana mekala. Mazel Tov. Listen, to be a little bit more like Labor Day, it's a big simcha. Mamish.